I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you. The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're going to be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/goals.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your hosts, Anne Catherine
and Caroline. Today, we're going to talk about trusting your gut and like what that gut feeling means and when to go with intuition and when to go with logic. I don't necessarily think there's one direct answer, but it's something I've been super curious about.
Every time.
Love versus logic, JP Sachs.
I feel like that's not the first time we've brought that song up in an episode before.
No. He's one of those people who has like good lyrics, relatable lyrics. I like music with meaningful lyrics. That's kind of my vibe of music. Doesn't even matter the genre. It's like it could be country, it could be pop, it could be, it's not usually rap, but lyrics over everything in my book. But I've been curious about like what the gut feeling means, because the more that I've been analyzing, or I guess analyzing is funny because analyzing isn't really trusting your gut, but the more that I've been thinking about my life in general and the way that I make choices, the more that I'm kind of curious about what that gut feeling actually means and like what it means to have a strong intuition and when is right to be more logical in your decisions and when is right to kind of go with your gut. So we want to break that down today, kind of from a psychological standpoint of what that gut feeling actually means, but then also in an actionable way of like, you know, not everything in your life has to be taken from a psychological standpoint because we're human. So also a little bit of situations where trusting our gut has gone right or wrong for us, and where I think that leaves the question of trusting your gut versus logical reasoning. Before we get into it, let's do some highs, lows, and goals of the week. And Catherine, do you have a high?
My high of the week, it kind of doubles as my low of the week, was last Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday. I have a class that goes from 3:30 to 5 something, and I have a couple friends in it. And normally it's like, it's a good class. It's really interesting. It's very discussion based, which is good. I don't know what was in the air last Tuesday. We were all like, nonverbal is not the word because I was talking. I just wasn't saying much. You know what I mean? And we were texting the entire time, just like iMessage next to each other.
Also with me in the group chat too.
In group chats, yeah. Because it was just like, I don't know what was, again, what was in the air. Everything was funny. Everything was funny. And there was one point where I
lost it. Like, out loud, I laughed out loud, and I was so embarrassed. It was really loud in the room, so it was, like, fine, because everyone was talking. But my friend said something and was like, now emote. And I started laughing on the spot. So a low because, like, I don't think I retained a single thing from that class. We're analyzing Fortnite as Epic Games as a firm, like,
interesting
in the industry in general. So it was already like that was the vibe of the class, was we were Fortnite. Discussing Fortnite, and people were sending in someone texted us in our, like, in our group chat, you know, the Instagram create, the memes that are literally just Instagram create mode screenshots.
No,
like the pink background with white okay. Big text.
Yeah, sure.
One of them, it just says, man, I love Fortnite.
And MILF.
Correct. It was so, it's just so funny. So that was the tone of the class, which I left being like feeling really energized because I was drained prior to the class. And I feel like that was a good social time for me.
So that was your high?
Yeah, it was nice of both, I'd say. Okay. My low is that my sleep score every single night, Dad and I have been checking in because our dad's been traveling, and I send him my sleep score in the morning. Then he sends me his back, and we're rocking with 50s and below for a couple days.
That's really bad.
Yeah, how do you know? Is it because of the whoop?
Mm-hmm. Okay, my high of the week was also on Tuesday. Tuesday has historically, as in the past couple months, been my boxing day. That's when I do a boxing class at the gym. And, you know, typically I go with one of my friends who's a guy, which is nice to, like, you know, have someone supportive there at boxing, because it can be like somewhat of an intimidating environment, you know? It's a small room. It feels very intimate. Like, workout classes can already kind of feel like you're being watched a little bit, but like boxing in particular, it's just, you know, it just feels like that next level, and there's not always other girls there. There are actually most of the time, but
you don't know how to box.
No, but I actually do now. Like, I actually do.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, you haven't seen me box. Like,
I haven't been because I'm always busy when
yeah,
but the boxing happens, but we're going today, and I'm nervous because I don't know how to box, and I'm like,
what are
we going to do?
Yeah, but there's no class today. We're just playing around by ourselves. Punch, but like, on this class on Tuesday, my friend who usually goes with me couldn't go, and I was like, you know what? Like, I'm still going to go. I can do it by myself. Usually, they overbook the class, and so you have to share a bag with two people. Yeah, well, not overbook, but, like, they allocate. No, so you have to kind of alternate using the bag. So, like, if you have a sequence, you kind of work it out, like, how you're going to split it up. Which is, like, it's, you know, it works. It makes sense. More people can be in the class. But, like, it's hard to fully get in the zone when you're, like, conscious of sharing the bag with another person and you're going back and forth a bit. This time, for whatever reason, it was not overbooked. I had a bag to myself. This was the first time that's happened, that, like, I've had a heavy bag to myself, and I've just gotten to, like, throw the punches and throw the combos. And we also had a sub for a teacher, and this guy was super sick. He was so funny. I think he said he was, like, 31 or something, but he said that he was, like, I was raised by my uncles. They would wake me up before school every day growing up. I ran 5 miles every morning growing up. Like, he was, like, badass, like, super disciplined. Oh my God. So, dude, but he was also super nice, but he was very technical in boxing, whereas the other classes have been a bit more, like, focused on the workout, not necessarily technique. And this, he definitely was, like, giving pointers on technique and stuff. And so to have a bag to myself, get some technique pointers, and he was, like, super complimentary of everyone and super supportive. And it was just, like, it was just fun. Like, I tapped in. I felt good. Like, those hooks I was throwing, it was echoing in the room. They were hard. So that was probably my high of the week. That, you know, I wasn't sure if I was going to go because I didn't necessarily want to go alone. And that ended up being, like, totally great. My low of the week, everything happened on Tuesday. My low of the week was that I have an 8 a.m. class on Tuesday, and my professor canceled it, but the announcement didn't go out to everyone, and so I showed up at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, when, in fact, I could have slept in. And so that was just a bit disappointing. But next week is spring break, and I'm not really going anywhere, and so my goal is to just, like, catch up on everything that I want to do. Like, I'm actually very excited to have just a week to myself. As much as I wanted to take a trip, nothing seemed to be, like, coming together that easily, or there was nothing that I was super excited about. So I was like, you know what, it's probably better that I just take some time, catch up on sleep, catch up on some creative work that I want to do, catch up on school a bit, you know, go home and hang out with my mom for a few days if I want to. And so I'm actually very excited for, like, the refresh on rest and work and getting some creative juices flowing again as well. So that's my goal for the week.
I have a new high of the week, and it's that I went to a bar class yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I knew that I was gonna have a day, and
that the only time that I had was in the morning and I needed to get myself there. But I also knew I was not going to have energy to like do an actual workout. So I did a workout class, which I'm not a fan of. But I am a fan of it because had I gone to the gym for an hour, I would have just walked around and like done maybe one bicep curl and called it quits. Yeah. So I got more out of it making myself go to that class.
Did you enjoy it at least?
No.
No? But I that's mean, your
not
high?
Not particularly. My high was that I got myself there.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
And I did it, but...
That's awesome.
I did not like it, but I was like...
It's different.
You know, sometimes it doesn't hit.
Yeah.
Goal of the week is to... I'm going to see my friends. So I'm going to...
And Catherine's going to California. I'm going to California,
LA, and San Diego. And so, going to be social. But I also have so much work to do, so I have to try and figure out how I'm going to do everything.
You can pop some work in pockets. I'm sure you can find some coffee shops in San Diego, too, that you can just go and sit down in and actually enjoy your time.
I'm only going to be in San Diego for a couple days, so we may.
Okay, maybe like, in LA.
Hawker Walk. Oh, I'm excited to Hawker Walk. Hayden, if you're listening, I know you're listening.
A spring Hawker Walk in California with the sun is actually, that sounds super appealing. Mm-hmm. That sounds so nice right on the coast.
Like, get ready.
I am jealous of that. I can picture it so vividly. I feel so happy anytime we're in Hermosa Beach in California and I'm walking by myself with some music in on the boardwalk. That's actually like one of the best feelings. I'm quite jealous that you're gonna experience that. But at the end of the day, like I just didn't feel like it was the right move for me. So I'm gonna trust my gut with this one.
Intuition, trusting your gut.
Trusting your gut. This is funny because I told Catherine, I was like, I really want to do an episode breaking down intuition. And she texted me back and she's like, yeah, I feel like I have a really strong intuition. Like my gut told me that I needed to order 3 cappuccinos today at Tate while I was studying.
No. It said I would order 3. Because here's the thing. And I do have a really, really, really strong intuition and I do this. But with it's most describable with the little... things like that, you know, I was like on my second cappuccino I was there forever and I was like, I'm just gonna stick it out and not get one, like sue me, I'm gonna save the $5 because $15 total on like
coffee after coffee
right, maybe not for me, but I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna get one, like I'm gonna make this decision, and I just felt it deep inside me that like I was gonna get a third cappuccino.
That almost okay. No, I know what you mean,
but
I
it sounds stupid. It sounds stupid. had I not gotten one,
it would have felt wrong.
I would have felt wrong. I would have felt off. I would have felt uneasy. It would have felt like queasy.
You would have felt it because deep in your gut that it was wrong.
Remember when I canceled on G? Like we talked. This is my low of the week a while ago. One Friday we had plans with our friend for like a couple weeks. And I canceled a couple hours before. I just knew the entire day. I had a gut feeling that I was going to cancel.
When you have a gut feeling that you're going to cancel social plans, that's like everyone in every social setting is like, low-key, I want to cancel.
A gut feeling but that was the best decision to me, for me.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, well, it's funny because I do think that...
Sue me.
You know. Like, I think that anytime you have to make a decision, and we've talked about different elements of decision-making, like decision fatigue and choice overload and all of these things when we try to overthink situations, and it's kind of silly because deep down, I think you always know the answer, even if you're, like, trying to argue with it and even if you're trying to overthink something or you're trying to overcomplicate something. It's kind of like if you talk about choice overload. Like, if you go to an ice cream shop and there's only vanilla, chocolate, or twist, you're going to know, like, immediately what you want between those flavors. But if you go somewhere where there's 100 different flavors posted, suddenly you're going to start feeling like... you don't know what decision to make and you're going to have, like, FOMO no matter what decision you make because there's always an alternative. And you don't know what you're missing because it's not as simple as, you know, just vanilla or chocolate or twist. But I think that goes with anything in life a little bit. The more that you start adding all of these other alternatives and the more that you start overcomplicating it, the more that it is going to seem like there is never a right answer and that there's all these alternatives and that almost everything is wrong. And no matter what decision you go with, there's going to be some FOMO or some regret or some overthinking.
because you've created all these other choices. Whereas I think a lot of the time we know immediately what the first choice is and we try to overcomplicate our decisions and we make them
right
more complicated That's than they I have mean to be. But you kind of know and then you immediately. Try and go around and around. So trusting your gut means relying on that intuition and your natural instinct when you're making a decision rather than overanalyzing it or rather than solely relying on logical reasoning. You know, sometimes our subconscious minds pick up on cues and have this information backed up that our conscious minds might overlook or like undervalue when we're trying to make a decision in the moment. And so sometimes that means that you have this instinctual response that just feels right, even if you can't immediately rationalize why, which that can also be confusing in and of itself, because sometimes you feel like something is the way to go and it's just like, you know, and you literally can like feel it physically in your gut sometimes. But logically, you don't necessarily understand why, because on paper, that might not seem like the logical choice. But for whatever reason, like in your gut and in your subconscious mind, that feels like the right way to go. And so sometimes that causes this internal conflict of like, do I trust this feeling, even though I'm not sure exactly why I'm feeling it? Or do I try to logic this situation and add all of these other alternatives and add all of this decision criteria that wouldn't necessarily exist if I just went with the intuition? Because when you go with intuition, it's not like you're going through a distinct decision-making process of like, what's all my decision criteria? What are all my alternatives? What checks the box? Like, you just kind of go with this subconscious feeling of what's right, which can be a bit scary sometimes when there isn't the justification to support it other than it feels right to you.
Other than the vibes.
But Catherine and I do say a lot that our best decisions and our best life paths have come from rolling with the vibes rather than...
I don't know if that sentence has ever come out of my mouth.
Okay. Maybe not in those direct words. But we do say a lot. Or I say, like, if somebody asks me, where do you want to be in 5 years or something? Like, I do not know. I don't want to give you a definitive answer of that because I think that I care more about what my life feels like and the vibe of it rather than telling you that this is exactly where I have to be in 5 years and this is exactly the checked boxes that I have to have in my life, because that's not actually how life works. Like, that denotes the feeling of life and the natural evolution of life and the fact that, like, you don't know what opportunities or what challenges are going to come your way. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes making the most logical choice actually isn't the most logical choice because it doesn't take into consideration like the fact of being human. You know what I mean?
I think a part of this whole concept too is not trying to push things that don't fit. So it's not like, it's not necessarily about being presented with choices and like choosing the right one, but it's also knowing when to like stop doing something or go in a different direction. And so I think your intuition is also important in trusting the like natural evolution of your life and following that rather than like trying to force something in a different direction because maybe logically it makes more sense than what's happening or, you know, choices that are being made for you for whatever reason. And that could be like a career path or, you know, friends or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of higher ticket items, but short term, if your day goes differently and you have to move things around and you want to like fight for a different organization of your day and it feels really tiresome and draining and like not worth it almost, then your intuition in that sense would be understanding that like it feels not worth it to push to keep something on my schedule or to keep something at this time when I could move it and be flexible, and understanding your intuition and trusting that rather than like your head and what you selfishly want for things can be really important and helpful too.
Mm. So we describe that intuition as like this gut feeling, but it's hard to know why that's happening and why we feel that way and if it should actually be trusted or if there's any truth to it. But psychologically, we know that there's a huge connection between the brain and the body and also between the brain and the gut. Like, the mind-gut connection is so huge, and I know that I feel that so much for myself. Like, I don't know if anybody else is the same way, but like, you know, as someone with a very sensitive stomach, I feel like I feel everything in my gut. Like, in Catherine, well, okay, maybe that's a stretch, but like, you know, like, if I'm feeling anything, I describe myself as feeling nauseous, like, all the time. Like, if I'm stressed about something, if I'm like
worried about something, if I'm just like having a bad mental thing, like I feel nauseous, like I feel it in my stomach. And then vice versa, like if I eat something that upsets my stomach, like it'll make me anxious as well. Like I have a very strong mind gut connection, and there's science behind that too, because I've looked into that because I feel it so much. But our brains and our bodies and all of these systems inside of us are connected, like they're not separate entities. So it makes sense that you feel something as like a gut feeling, or you feel something like in your body and not just in your mind. And it makes sense that it is actually linked to your mind and psychologically. So I looked into a little bit about why that happens. So a few things in play here are, one, subconscious processing. So, you know, our brains are constantly processing information, and a lot of it is outside of our conscious awareness. And a lot of it is not like, I am doing this and I am learning this and I want to retain this information. A lot of it is, you know, patterns that we subconsciously recognize, memories that kind of sit in the back of our mind, cues that we pick up from our environment. And when this subconscious processing detects something significant, it can manifest as a gut feeling because it's picking up on that pattern. It's subconsciously thinking about a memory and something that happened before. It's picking up on one of these cues from your environment that it recognizes as having happened before, or that it sees an outcome with and is trying to tell you something. And so that gut feeling can signal you to pay attention to something, to act in a certain way, even if you're not consciously aware of the underlying information that's leading you to that. A lot of the time there is information there. It's just subconscious. It's just a little bit underneath the surface. Similarly, your emotional memory plays a big role in this. You know, gut feelings are often linked to emotional memories. That's why it feels so distinct, and there's a connection between feeling it physically and having an emotion around it. The brain's limbic system, which processes emotions, that associates certain emotions and certain stimuli with past experiences, with emotions that you've had. And so if a current situation is subconsciously matching a past experience, that's going to trigger a gut feeling and an intuitive response, which is going to guide your decisions based on emotional learning and like emotionally what you've experienced in the past, maybe because it's trying to get you to avoid a negative emotion. If it feels like something is triggering an event or an emotion that's been negative for you in the past, or it's just leading you in one way or another based on that emotional memory. We also have mental shortcuts, so heuristics that our brains use to make quick judgments and decisions. This is funny because I'm like learning about heuristics a lot in an organizational behavior class I'm taking right now, because it's very connected to biases and things like that when you're talking about like people and how people work together. Like we have these mental shortcuts and these judgments and these biases that are in our brains, and they're hard to override. And our brain uses them because they're efficient, right? When we have these shortcuts, they help us make quick decisions, but they're not always fully rational or logical. Mm-hmm. And so this is one way that a gut feeling can sometimes not be totally the right move, because if it's coming, if it's like a heuristic coming out to play and it's just like a quick snap judgment, it's based on a bias, it's based on something, but it's not taking into account like the full situation, it's maybe not being that rational, that's going to be guiding you based on some simplified rules or some patterns that are from past experiences, and it might not be taking into account the full situation in the moment. So that is one mental thing where I think trusting your gut, you know, you could put a negative spin on it. Otherwise, I think we've talked very positively about trusting your gut, because there's these underlying emotions and patterns and stuff that this gut feeling is trying to lead you toward or away from something. But we also want to be aware that, you know, it could be these mental shortcuts that aren't taking into account the full picture, and you want to make sure that you're not, you know, passing judgment or creating biases or even taking past traumas and past experiences and projecting them onto a new situation.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Caroline and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages
forever. So I've been using this Lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
When you have big goals and a busy schedule, like all Girls with Goals listeners do, because that is exactly why we are here, it can be so difficult to actually find time for wellness. Even though it's a core value for all of us, small wellness habits can easily be buried by everything we have going on. This is why we have Fleur Marché. Fleur Marché delivers simple, quality, affordable wellness solutions for life's daily challenges. It's founded by women and inspired by the female dreamers, hustlers, and activists on the front lines of change. And their mission is to help you feel 100% every single day with fun and easy-to-understand plant-powered wellness products. Caroline and I have both been using the Fleur Marché Botanical Wellness Patches and have really, really enjoyed them because they're so easy and honestly so cool. They're different than a lot of the products I've used in the past for sleep, relaxation, focus, and relief, which are just some of the patches that Fleur Marché offers. Because they're both effective and fun, I think that's why I've been more intentional about this wellness habit with Fleur Marché, because I actually enjoy using the patches. So go check out all the patches and all the products that Fleur Marché has for you and try them for yourself. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with the promo code GOALS at checkout. Go to fleurmarché.com and use code GOALS for 20% off your first order.
When it's not the actual situation.
Yeah, that can... Because you're almost, like, it's kind of a safety thing mm-hmm. of, like, I'm going to assume that this situation or make this situation similar to something in the past. So then when you react in the same way, when your first instinct is to react in the same way, then the situation at hand may not actually be,
yeah,
you know, what you think it is. And it may not be bad necessarily. I think this mostly comes out to play when things are bad or painted to be bad. And... then you can be left, you know, your first instinct is to react in the same way because you know how to react, you know how when, and it's kind of like a safety thing because you've already done it. So, you know, regardless of if it's bad, you're good with it because you know you've already done it before. So you can turn good or neutral situations into bad situations because your first instinct is to act in that way.
Mm. Like, have you ever been on the other side of that with somebody where maybe... like, you don't understand the logic of somebody's decision or you don't understand the decision. Like, I almost feel like we get frustrated with our mom sometimes if we feel like she's, like, holding herself back from doing something because it almost seems, like, irrational sometimes, the decision somebody might be making based on some, like, really past experience or some really past thought or idea that they just can't, like, get past enough to see the situation for what it is. Mm-hmm. That can be kind of frustrating to be on the other side of. As well, when somebody has these
because in mental that sense, shortcuts in their mind. Like, you can't argue or try and rationalize it, like you said, because neither party is understanding or has rational thoughts
yeah.
leading up to it.
Yeah. The final thing that I came across when looking into why we kind of have these gut feelings and why we might have really strong intuitions is also there's an element of, like, evolutionary adaptation, you know, from an evolutionary perspective.
Where did you get your degree?
Google. I did some research. I was curious about this. But, like, you know, if you think about humans and how we've adapted and, you know, the animalistic side of things, instinctive reactions to danger or to opportunity are kind of embedded within us because, you know, at a certain point in the world and even at certain points now, but, you know, not as often, but in high risk scenarios, like, having strong instincts can be, like, life or death in mm-hmm. some situations. So, like, you know, if you take humans deep down as, like, ancestral and where we came from, but also some high-risk situations now, like, we need to have intuition because you don't have time to logic every decision sometimes.
Right. I think... that's like driving. Mom and I had this conversation because, oh my god, yeah. they saw a heinous accident, which is so bad. And so we talk about driving a lot, because every time my mom's driving and sees an accident, she's like, by the way, we could be in a different country. And she goes, by the way, there was a really bad accident on a 995, like, be safe. I'm like, I'm not operating a car right now. I'm not on I-95. Like, thanks though. So, and every time I'm driving, I'm like, and something happens, you know, if someone like goes to cut you off or something, you react and like swerve or do something before you even have time to think. It just like, it, your body just does things like that. And I always think it's really cool when that happens, because like, you know, before you even know.
Yeah.
To do things, yeah, to keep you safe.
Or you, sometimes you see TikTok videos of, like, you know, a kid is falling or slipping, and, like, you see a parent just, mm-hmm, like, instinctually grab them and stuff. And so you, there are things that you don't think about, and you just have these, like, actions and thoughts and stuff. And a lot of the time, those can be for good. But when it comes to the negative side, like, you want to make sure that you're not taking shortcuts without actually thinking through what the situation is at hand, and not kind of taking the easy way out shortcut. Mm-hmm. So, two big ways that, or I guess two big categories of trusting your gut that I see are trusting your gut with people and trusting your gut with life choices. Because I think, you know, those are two really big buckets of life where we, one, have big decisions to make sometimes, but also two, I think have really strong intuition about, sometimes in an unexplainable way. Sometimes you have really strong intuition about people, and it's almost like hard to explain. Like, you might not even have had a conversation with somebody. You might not know them very well at all. But like, sometimes just picking up the energy of a person, like, you can tell whether you like them, whether you don't like them, whether you think they're a good person and they're welcoming, or whether you think they're schemy or closed off or negative. Like, mm-hmm, it doesn't take much, I think, humanly, when meeting a person, to have a gut like, feeling.
What's that book? Spark? Nope. Snap? Nope. Blink.
Blink. Malcolm Gladwell? Blink. Yuck. Explain that. I haven't read that in a very long time.
Neither have I. But, like, it's just about snap judgments and how people, like, make, I think, so if I'm wrong, correct me, someone. But, like, before you even, and I think the point of the book is that it's not necessarily a good thing that people do that, but I think you also get a vibe. You know when you meet someone, you're like, not into it. And then other people are like, what? What? And then, like, yeah, a year later, everyone's like, you're right.
You're
so,
right.
Some intuition in that sense. The other thing Cameron brought up was, like, jobs and bigger decisions. Like, if you get a job offer and it maybe on paper is, like, really good, but you just for some reason feel like you shouldn't take it or don't want to take it, that's a massive sign. There's no rationale. There's no reasoning. It's kind of hard to explain these scenarios because there's literally no explanation to the vibe of intuition. Mm-hmm. But I do think it's interesting that that occurs, and often, like, again, who knows if it's the right or wrong choice? We don't have all the information on every single scenario. But in that situation, if you were to take that job that you had a really bad vibe about, even because the offer was good, you would probably go to that job and be uncomfortable and uneasy, like, about that decision. And maybe it'll wear off, and maybe it won't. But it's just interesting how stuff plays out when you have a feeling. That feeling stays with you when you go in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to go back to people and how you said that sometimes you feel something, other people don't necessarily see it, and then it can kind of be a common scenario where, like, you know, a year down the line, people come back and they're like, yeah, you were right, like, you knew from the start. That, I mean, I've been on the other side of that sometimes, where somebody has thought a certain thing about somebody, felt a certain way, and I haven't really seen it, and then later on it really comes out. We talk about energy givers and energy takers, and how that can be people as well. How you can feel sometimes that being around certain people really energizes you and just feels so light and fun and happy in a sense, and how being around other people can sometimes feel more draining and more like work and more like a force. You can tell immediately when you click somebody. And I think that that is the real sign, is like, does this feel like an energy giver or an energy drainer right when you meet somebody? And I just don't think that that changes unless, of course, like, you know, people go through growth and people change, and then you meet at different periods of your life. But I don't think that, like, day to day that's going to change very much, or day to day that should change very much, because I think that, like, where you are at in life and who you are versus where somebody else is at in life and where they are, like, either it clicks in, like, an energy creating, light, fun, happy way, or it just feels like draining and feels like work. Even if you respect the person, even if you like the person, I think that you feel that in your gut and you feel that in your energy, whether somebody is
energizing you or whether they're draining you. I also think that you can have a pretty strong intuition about somebody's character right away. You know, sometimes I have a gut feeling that somebody has a bit of a shady side or that they can't 100% be trusted or there's just something that feels off about it. But maybe it's not that prevalent and maybe there are like other good qualities or, you know, they're super popular or they're just somebody that you want to be around for whatever reason. And so maybe I ignore it. It always comes back. It always comes back, right? Like, I don't think that there's ever been a situation where you felt something like that or felt like something is off, something is imbalanced, and you've like pushed through it and you've ignored that and it's fixed itself. It never has. It almost always just like gets worse or it comes to a head and then you're like, damn, why did I put the effort into that? And why did I put the care into that when like I knew that something was wrong the whole time and I just kind of overlooked it and then it only ended up hurting me?
Trust is a good point there. When you trust people and you're like, ooh, I don't trust this person. So there's one aspect that we've talked about is the like trusting your choices and intuition in that sense. But the other thing, I think when it's applied to people in the amount that you trust people and what you trust them with is so telling because that is just intuition. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course trust is built up over time, but there is a certain level of like immediate sense, and some people have limits to how much you can trust them just because it's how people click. Someone that's super trustworthy to someone is going to be not super trustworthy for someone else. That's just how people are. That's mm-hmm. how things go. But it is interesting that, you know, you might catch yourself changing stories or like leaving parts out or choosing not to tell someone something because of how much or how little, I guess, you trust them.
Yeah.
Which is interesting that it just happens without you kind of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to people, I absolutely think that trusting your gut over anything is the way to go. I just think there's not really a way to logically reason people that is so prevalent and so strong that it's going to override your gut feeling and your intuition about a person and about what that relationship is or about like how much or how little you vibe with them. I just don't think that there's like a way to logic yourself out of that. And so I think that with people, that's definitely a scenario where I'm all for trusting your gut. I think in general, I'm pretty pro trusting your gut because like I said before, it just like as much as I like to overthink things sometimes and as much as I like to be indecisive and as much as my brain likes to like make lists and try to find logic and things and try to find the best solution, I do believe at the end of the day, you know, deep down, that logic, even if something is like right logically and on paper, it still doesn't even mean that it's right for you because I just don't think that it always takes into account the human element in life. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to life changes, I think that that one has a bit more blurred lines with it because naturally there has to be some logic behind life choices. Like, what you do in your life, like, it has to be financially responsible for you, right? Like, you have to make sure that you have, you know, food and water and shelter and all of these basic necessities. You can't, like, gut feeling your way out of those. You can't ignore logic in a sense that's going to be, like, super financially irresponsible mm-hmm. and not set you up to actually have a safe life. But I also don't think that you should ever make a life choice based on logic alone, because then what does that actually mean to you? Because at the end of the day, like, your life is not necessarily about the vanity of it to anybody else. It's not about the boxes that you check and following the path. Because really, what else matters in life if it doesn't feel good to you? Like, if you're not happy in your life, if it doesn't feel successful and fulfilling to you, then what does anything else matter? Even if, logically, like, you take the path that you're supposed to take, even if you choose the job that's going to make you the most money, even if you, you know, buy the apartment that you're supposed to buy and do all these things and you live in the place you're supposed to live, like, if you make these logical decisions, that doesn't mean anything if your life doesn't feel good to you. And so as much as logical reasoning has to be a part of it to make sure that you, you know, have safety and security in your life, I also think that you need to trust your gut when you make choices in your life for what is actually going to make you feel happy and fulfilled day to day, whether that's who you surround yourself with, whether that's the work you do, even if it means taking something a little riskier, you know, taking a riskier path or taking something for a little less pay initially, but it's so much more exciting to you and you see more mobility in it and you see more freedom in it and you're more excited about what it is. Or maybe it's moving to a completely different location just because like it feels right to you and you feel like you want the adventure of it. You know, there has to be an element of trusting your gut when it comes to making decisions about your life, because you should also be making choices based on how your life feels rather than just the perception of it. So I also think that when it comes to life, if something feels right, you should follow that, because you can always turn around and change your mind later. But if you're drawn to something in the moment, it's for a reason.
Which I think is a really good core belief to have, that you can change your mind. One, not in the sense of I have no commitment to anything, I can change my mind anytime, but I'm going to commit fully to everything I do and understand that, like, if it runs its course and I want to change or need to change something, like, I'm okay with that. And a lot of that, I think, comes down to, once again, confidence. Because when you are confident in yourself and your abilities and that trust of your intuition, that's when you can fully support changing of ideas and make the most out of it, so that you get the most out of what you're currently doing and get the most out of what, you know, you're changing your mind to go do. Mm-hmm. Other than if you didn't do that, you would half-ass both things and then just not get anything out of anything. One example of us changing our mind was this last, I don't even know what to call it, the last fall semester. Fall of this year, when we, you know, took time off of school to travel. Our initial plan was we were gonna take the same time off of school and go to LA for that 3 months, or for however long it was. If you're in college or high school and are looking to build your credit up, then the Ambition Card by College Ave is for you. This is a card that helps you safely build a positive credit history while you are in college.
We talk a lot about financial literacy and making sound financial decisions. Cue literally every conversation we've had on dupes and making smart finance decisions ever. And building a solid credit history helps so much, especially when you can get ahead while you're in college.
The Ambition Card helps you prepare for post-grad living with no late fees, no interest charges, and no credit check to qualify. Making payments on time will help positively impact and build your credit score.
The Ambition Card is specifically designed to help you, not hurt you, and you may not realize how important building a positive credit history while in college is right now, but I promise once you've graduated and are looking into renting your own apartment, opening a new credit card, starting a business, asking for a loan for anything, car insurance, getting a new car, your credit history sticks with you and has the opportunity to get you good deals and loans in the future if it's good, which is why I think this Ambition Card is such an amazing opportunity to get ahead of building your credit and start strong.
It's easy to get started. You can transfer money to your account and even set your own spending limit too. You've got money goals, and the Ambition Card will help get you there. Check it out at ambitioncard.com. The Ambition Card is issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Results may vary. Credit history is impacted by a number of factors. And work there. We got so far into that, like, we were like, oh, do we need to ship our car? Like, what's it? Like, we were set on it. Like, that's what we were going to do. Until we realized that we had the opportunity to use that 3 months, super short amount of time, and we likely won't get 3 months just travel like that when, you know, who knows where we'll be in the next 2 years. So we decided to capitalize on that and do exactly what we planned to do in LA, but just while traveling. And we then shifted and committed fully to that. So we are fully committed to, like, we're going to take this time off of school and go to LA and, like, maximize being in that environment and connecting with new people, because we've only spent most of our time on the East Coast with all the podcast stuff and connecting with, you know, people in this industry and in this area on the East Coast. So we thought that would be a really cool and exciting opportunity out there. So we ended up doing that, but, like, all around the world and getting to visit some cool places and see some friends that we otherwise wouldn't have seen. And it ended up being such a great choice. And I think it was only a great choice because we committed fully to that and being okay with changing our minds. Had we said, no, we already chose that we're going to do LA and we're going to stay here and, like, we're going to stay planted. I don't know. I mean, obviously we didn't do it, so I don't know how it played out, but I think it would have felt that, like, ooh, I'm missing out on something. I should have done something else. I should have taken the travel opportunity. And you would have known that in the back of your head the whole time, and it would have changed your experience and wouldn't let you fully appreciate being planted in one place doing that, because we were being pulled to do the travel thing. And it ended up being such a great choice, and I'm very grateful that, one, we did it, and two, we were able to do it.
Yeah, I think the first element of trusting our gut in that scenario was, you know, deciding that it felt right to us to take a semester off of school to even begin with, even though that meant being in school for an extra semester than we both had planned in the beginning, and taking, you know,
a little bit different of a path and being okay with like doing something a little bit different, because I know at least for me personally, the second that idea came in my head of like taking the time off, focusing on the podcast full time, taking the time to either go to LA and live with other people and meet new people, or what ended up becoming travel, like the second that idea came into my mind, it felt so right and it felt so aligned with like what I needed to do in my life that it almost became like, you know, a no-brainer, not even a question. And I think that like when you feel that type of way about something, you just need to follow through with it and you need to do it. Like that is happening for a reason, and I can say that that time ended up being so fulfilling. Even coming back to school now, like I feel so much more refreshed to be back in school again, having taken that time. I feel so much more clear about like what I want in my life, and also just having had those experiences was so enjoyable, and I grew so much from all of that. And so I think the first trusting our gut was just taking that time off from the beginning, but also having planned for so long that we were going to take that time and go to LA, and then suddenly one day it just like didn't feel right, and we trusted that and we said, you know, I know it's late in the game, I know that this is what we've planned, but traveling and doing our own thing is just feeling more right. And so we trusted that, and like I just can't imagine what would have happened if we didn't, because it was, at least for me, it was like one of the best times of my life so far. And so that was just a time where like, you know, choice after choice, we just kind of trusted the gut and it really all ended up working out. And at the end of the day, you always can change your mind. Like even like not everything went perfectly according to plan in that scenario as well, but like that's okay because it happened. It was 6 months, and like there are other opportunities to make other choices and change your mind and do more down the line. And I know that now moving forward in my life, like I don't even know what the next year ahead of me is going to look like. I don't know where I'm going to be in 2 years. I don't know where I want to live and exactly what I want to do after I graduate school. But like I'm not stressing about it because I truly am trusting that like when the right thing falls into my lap and when I know, I'm going to know, because I know that every other good decision that has happened for me before, like I've had such a strong intuition about it when the situation has fallen into my lap and when the opportunity has presented itself. Like when I've known, I've known. And so all of these events happening before just has kind of led me to trust that as long as I, you know, keep working at what's in front of me and open myself up to opportunities and trust that the right one is going to come, then when the right one does come, it's going to feel right and I'll be able to trust my intuition with that. So hopefully this episode was pretty interesting for you guys in kind of being able to break down logical reasoning versus trusting your gut, and also why we have these gut feelings. And hopefully it motivates you to trust yourself and trust your gut a little bit more, because in Catherine and I always say that building trust with yourself is like one of the most important parts to having a good relationship with yourself and building confidence, being able to just trust your feelings and trust your decisions. And so a huge part of that comes from listening to this intuition, understanding why it happens. And of course, we wanted to bring in logical reasoning because, you know, you don't want to totally throw that out the window, and there's absolutely a time and a place for that. And I think it should be a little bit of a part of everything. But you know, I really do believe that a lot of your life is about how you feel, and trusting how you feel is such an important thing. So hopefully this was motivating for you guys to be able to trust yourself and make those choices in the future. And it was, you know, a pretty informative episode for you.
Make sure you guys are following the podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, and the podcast TikTok and Instagram at Girls With Goals Pod, as well as our personals at Catherine Kinnean, at Caroline Kinnean. Those are all linked in the show notes below, so click on over if you want to check that out. The merch link is also in the show notes below if you want an Impress Yourself beanie and Impress Yourself hoodie. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.